Welcome to the Wall Street Journal's Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. Today's stories include how to make an effective ad, six traits of a successful entrepreneur, and how some restaurants distinguish their pizza. We'll begin with this: how to make a good ad for a small business. Here's the Wall Street Journal's Joe Connolly.
The biggest mistake you can make in creating a local ad for a business is in trying to make it look like an ad by some big ad agency. The art of local ads is to look local. Show local landmarks. Distress you're nearby. You may get more plays of an ad by buying 15-second ads, too, not 30-second ads. The goal, either way, is just to get people to remember your name and maybe your location. If you get those 2 points across, it's a successful ad. Keep the ad extremely simple, to 1 point. The whole goal is to resonate with the target audience. So, for instance, a golf shop's only message was not even "we sell golf clubs," it was "we buy golf clubs." Humor Works, a rap song about a local furniture store, went viral. And Legal Seafood didn't go deeply into the aspects of nutrition for their ad. They just found footage of people doing stupid things and said, "Fish is brain food. See what happens if you don't eat fish?" I'm Joe Connolly for the Wall Street Journal.
Thanks, Joe. Speaking of food, how legit is your pizza? Something to consider if you own a pizza shop or restaurant that serves it. An increasing number of pizzerias and pizza makers are getting certified as authentically Neapolitan. Some see it as a mark of quality. Here's MarketWatch reporter Charles Passy in New York. Charles, who does the certifying?
Well, there's a group called, the short initial for it is VPN, but basically stands for True Neapolitan Pizza. Pizza does come from Italy, but over the years in America, we've kind of made it our own thing. And there's this group that started in Italy, which is trying to preserve a very particular style of pizza, the Neapolitan way. It's a very thin pie, very lightly topped. It's sort of the classic pie on which American pizza was really modeled after. And they're trying to basically make it a formal thing. And now they're getting a good number of pizzerias in America to get the certification so that they can say, "Hey, we're the real deal."
Wow. So how is it certified? You hang something in your window or stamp your pizza box? How does that work?
It's not a cheap or an easy process. We're talking about buying at least $20,000 worth of specialty equipment, including a wood-burning oven. That's very key to how this pizza is made, including a specialty type of mixer. Then on top of that, you have to buy certain essentially approved ingredients. There's a certain type of flour that's used. There are certain types of tomatoes. Most of these ingredients are from Italy. They say you can substitute American ones if they meet the very high standards they set. So you have to keep buying the ingredients. And then on top of that, you have to be trained in everything from how to crush the tomatoes to how to do the dough, how to prepare the dough, how to essentially roll the dough. I mean, they really describe this like an art, as if you were a sculptor, you know, like as if you were the Michelangelo of pizza.
All right, thanks, Charles. MarketWatch reporter Charles Passy on certifying your pizza as authentically Neapolitan. Coming up next, the traits of a successful entrepreneur.
You just watched the market close in Shanghai. New York doesn't open for a couple of hours, so there's time to fit in a session at the gym, squeeze in a haircut, go hit a few balls at the driving range, shoot off some emails, and maybe even breakfast across town. And you'll still be the first one in the office. You're always ready to go the extra mile. Fortunately, so is your Cadillac. With Cadillac Certified Service, our experts make sure your Cadillac is as ready to go as you are.
Get AC Delco Professional Durastop brake pads installed for only $99.95 or less per axle. Includes rotor inspection, retail customers only, turning or replacing rotors, all other services, and tax extra. Visit CadillacCertifiedService.com for details, other great offers, and to find your closest Cadillac dealer.
Well, young employees sometimes hit snags in their relationships with their office mentors, but there are ways to salvage the relationship. There's no need to panic over a missed deadline or a slip of the tongue. Wall Street Journal reporter Charlie Wells has some tips. Charlie, what's happening here?
You know, I think that it's a lot of, you know, young, especially millennials who are just entering the workforce, and they kind of don't have the perspective of a lot of seniors. So let's say you're 1 or 2 years into your job at a really big firm, and all of a sudden you get a curt reply back from, you know, a boss maybe 3 or 4 levels above you. That boss is probably not taking whatever you said in the email personally and spitting it back to you in a curt way. They're probably just incredibly busy. So realizing that, you know, you need to continue to engage with people. If you're a young employee and someone doesn't respond to your email right away, it's okay to follow up. I actually spoke with a young woman who met one of her mentors at a large bank in New York, and she actually fell out of touch with him for about 2 years. She landed a job at another firm and was a little bit nervous emailing her former superior, but you know, she sent him a message. He got it, and the next day they were at a restaurant talking about business. And this mentor actually said that he was really touched that someone that he had known, you know, 2 years ago, maybe, you know, they were not in touch for a long time, but the fact that she got back in touch with him made him feel like he'd made deep roots, that he'd kind of, you know, sponsored and mentored someone who remembered him. So these sort of small things, these faux pas that you think your bosses are not going to like, sometimes you maybe just need to dive back in and reengage.
Interesting, because that's a good networking move she made as well.
That said, there are some telltale mentoring mistakes that young people do make. I was talking to a career advisor and researching for this article, and he basically said this to me: what can a 23-year-old offer Sheryl Sandberg? And what he meant by that was just realizing that your relationship with your mentor is probably going to be quite lopsided. So you can't offer the CEO of your company big deals. You can't give them, you know, perspective on how to time the market or that sort of thing. But what you can offer them is, you know, not as big, but it could be perspective on what 20-somethings in your city are doing, or, you know, maybe kind of new technology tips that this person might not know.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Charlie Wells about advice for employees who might have hit a snag in the relationships with their office mentors. Some of this falls, or maybe a lot of it falls, in the mentor's lap, correct, in terms of fostering that relationship and pressing, as you said, that 20-something to say, hey, tell me about, you know, what relates to folks in your age group out on the street, for example.
Exactly. That's so right. So it's all about kind of, from the mentor's perspective, posing the right questions and sort of realizing that, you know, maybe this young person doesn't understand exactly how everything, you know, works at the firm, but, you know, giving the young employee a little bit of leeway and realizing that, hey, there's something that you also could get out of this.
Thanks, Charlie. Wall Street Journal reporter Charlie Wells. And finally, what makes for a successful entrepreneur? Here's a list of 6 traits from Jenny Q. Ta, CEO of Squeegee.com, a site designed to help people and nonprofits monetize their profiles. First on her list, confidence. This doesn't mean you can't have moments of doubt, but it does mean you can't be overwhelmed by them. Second, self-motivation. If you need constant kickstarting, your chances of success are greatly reduced. Number 3 on her list, tenacity. You can't let the first real challenge take the wind out of your sails, because there will be plenty of others. 4, understanding of your own limitations. A good entrepreneur is a good leader, and a good leader knows when to listen to others. Number 5, a healthy disrespect for the rules. Entrepreneurs are willing to cross lines that some people are not. Last one, willingness to fail. A budding entrepreneur who is not willing to risk it all when the rewards are great enough is unlikely to ever reap those rewards. Again, the list from Jenny Q. Ta of Squeegee.com. If you want more on small business topics, trends, and startup ideas, check out WSJ.com and click the Small Business tab. You can also get small business tips by following me on Twitter with the handle @GordonDeal. I'm Gordon Deal for the Wall Street Journal.